This is The People Speak, and we're going to be talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you doing?
Very well. Good morning, Jeff. It's always nice to be here and have a chance to say a few words and talk a little bit about what's going on in Randolph County. I look forward to the opportunity.
I think we both sound like about every three-fourths of the population out there right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have had a bit of a cold, and I'll try not to cough or have too many problems on here, but it just kind of has been an early season for it. A few days ago, I was quite a bit worse, but right now, I'm not doing terribly bad.
So, a lot going on with the county right now. I know we're at the end of the fiscal year.
Well, there's a couple of points that I'll talk about. Yes, the fiscal year ends, of course, November 30th, December 1. Our first meeting of the new fiscal year when we adopt our budgets and everything will be Monday, December 2nd. It works out that way that December is the first day is on a Monday, the 2nd. And that's when we'll have our reorganizational meeting and adopt our budgets. But I was going to mention a couple of other things that happened at our last regular meeting of the old fiscal year, which was last Friday. Mm-hmm. We adopted an ordinance opting out of the cannabis marijuana issue. I know there's been a couple of other local communities that have done the same. And we had considered that for quite a bit of time, and Dr. Kena had taken the lead on that and did a tremendous amount of research. And after taking a look at it and all the recommendations we had, we thought it best to opt out. And we had there's a number of different groups that had participated and advised us related to these types of issues. One of them being the Human Service Center, and Dennis from the Human Service Center was there to present to discuss it, as well as Jeremy Walker, Randolph County State's Attorney, and he discussed some of the issues related to it. And after all the consideration, we decided to adopt the ordinance, and we did adopt it. So Randolph County in and of itself is officially opted out. Now, that takes place for Randolph County only. Obviously, each incorporated area, i.e. each town, such as Sparta, Steelville, Redbud, Chester, they have their own, their own option there is to opt in or out. I believe Sparta has opted out at this point in time, and I believe Steelville has opted out. Chester and Redbud, I have not heard anything particular on, those being the larger communities. There are some smaller communities as well. But it seems to be pretty much in unison that most do not want it. However, you have to remember that it's still going to be legal as of January 1st. And it doesn't mean that people can't purchase it in some other part of the state, such as maybe Carbondale or whatever, or whatever, wherever they may sell it or dispense it up around, the East St. Louis area or the, O'Fallon. And to bring it here and to use it. And it's still perfectly legal for them to bring it here and to use it. And hopefully it won't create too many local problems when they do, but it just simply means that we will not here in Randolph County and or those local towns that choose to opt out will not have what they call dispensaries, or I guess what I would call stores where you would sell it, will simply not have places for it to be sold or grown in the county commercially. But it's still perfectly legal for them to use it coming, starting January 1st. We don't have a control over that particular issue.
Okay.
So that's where we stand on that particular one. And that was of note. I think it was important to go ahead and mention that, because that was something that happened on Friday that was, significant.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break here.
Sure.
And we'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. And again, we're talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder, talking about some of the things at the last board meeting.
Yes. Before the break, I was talking about the board meeting Friday, and in which one of the main items on it was the opting out of the cannabis or marijuana for Randolph County, which we indeed did. I'd make one other comment before I move on to the next one. We had requested for people to tell us how they felt about it, and I can't remember anyone telling me they wanted it. I know I had a lot of people telling me they didn't, and I think the other two commissioners had pretty much the same experience. So it seemed to be that most people around Randolph, or certainly most older people around Randolph County, were not that interested in it. But as far as growing it, selling it. We will not be in the county here, but they still, obviously, people can buy it in other parts of the state and are free to use it here, and we have no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
In other issues or other items, there were a number of good events in Randolph County over the weekend. One in particular I'm going to talk about that I attended yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock, down at the Old Covered Bridge on Old Plank Road there. Mm-hmm. Just kind of north and east of Chester, Illinois. The bridge, of course, has been there since, I think it said 1850 on the plaque. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful piece of history that we're very fortunate to have in Randolph County. And I think it was roughly 10 years ago that the state undertook the job, the project to rebuild or the bridge. What they did is they came in underneath of it and put in steel support beams to make sure that it would hold up, and they raised it in the process. They raised it, I'm going to say, roughly 5 feet, mm-hmm. to make sure that it was well above the floodwaters, because I do remember in years gone by, you know, back in, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you'd have a large rain. You'd have the waters of Mary's River there. They mm-hmm. would pretty much be touching the bottom of the bridge. So they were able to raise it above that. And with the steel girders, that provides support, because the old wooden beams, you know, just won't continue to hold up forever mm-hmm. and support it. But anyway, in the process, the state moved a plaque. But that gets to the story I'm going to tell here. In 2003, we had the 300th anniversary of George Rogers, or 200th anniversary of George Clark and Rogers and Clark, that came through this area, mm-hmm. started in Chester, then up to St. Louis, and they did the exploration to the Northwest, which is well known. But Clark was actually in the American Revolution, and he was, I think, a lieutenant colonel at that time. And he led an expedition that ran from Massac County, Fort Massac, which is Massac County being down near Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a march, roughly 175 men did a march from there up to what was in Kaskaskia Island, the city of Kaskaskia, which was then under British control. That was the tail end of the Revolutionary War, so that was one of the last outposts that the British had over here. And they did a march up here and took control of the city, and so at that point in time, Kaskaskia Island and all points west became part of, would later become part of the Louisiana Purchase, and were basically, you know, no longer a part of the English, which had been a part of the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as we fought the English back then. And there were some mostly Kentuckian, Kentuckian soldiers, Pennsylvania soldiers, and there were also some French militia involved in it as well. But anyway, they passed through this area on that march, and coming up through there, they actually, one of the recorded campsites in the log of their march was they forded the Mary's River there at the ford, which is basically where the bridge sets now, within, 100 feet or so. That was a narrow part of the river. They forded the river and camped on the west side of the river there before they went on through Diamond Cross and on to Kaskaskia Island on the last day of the journey. I think the sixth day of the journey. And it actually, in the actual liberation was July 4th, 1878, I believe, if I remember the history correctly.
Wow.
So we had a plaque there. It was reenacted back in 2003 in that time period. And they had placed a plaque there, and then that plaque came down when they redid the bridge. That's why I was mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plaque was laid unknown in a garage for a period of time. And earlier this year, it was relocated. Excuse me. It was relocated and found, and then it was reinstalled at the bridge where it was at. And Sunday was the rededication of it. And we had a number of individuals from the historical societies and the state historical societies. And one of the individuals who actually did that 2003 march was there and give quite a bit of the history involved in it. And it was very interesting to hear all of this. And what's unique about it is there's a number of those different plaques, you know, historical markers, commemorating the different locations.
Right.
But this is the only one they believe is actually on the exact spot, or within, stone's throw.
Right.
Of the exact spot there where they actually did that camp because they, according to their historical diaries that they kept at the time, they camped right at the ford on the west side of the river, which is right there where the parking lot's at, where the bridge is at.
Right.
And it is kind of a flat spot right in there, and so that would make sense. Right, kind of probably right between the old covered bridge and the highway bridge, right in there would have been a good campsite. So that was probably the exact location.
And you got that hill kind of behind it that kind of gives some protection too.
You had the hill behind it with the protection. You're traveling along the river bottom there, which would make sense. And that was where the old trail was at. Mm-hmm. And then they moved on upwards, continued on, I guess, generally westward towards the area of Randolph County that's known as Diamond Cross, which is kind of on Shawneetown Trail Road, a mile or so this side of Route 3. Mm-hmm. And then on over towards what would basically be past Pierre Menard's home and across the what was then the Kaskaskia River into Kaskaskia. That's before the Mississippi River had its new course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. They did a very wonderful reenactment, rededication of the plaque commemorating this, and it's a very good part of history. And of course, they took the picture, and I'm sure it'll be in the county journal later on this week, and they'll have a lot more of the details because they, you know, kept the documents of the talk and how it laid out. I'm just kind of going from memory as to how it went. But it was a very good piece of history and very nice to be there and to be a part of it. And I'm glad I could make it. So that was something that was very nice that took place in Randolph County over the weekend.
That's one thing about Randolph County. I mean, I'm being a history buff, you know, I mean, I love history. There's a lot of history in this county.
Oh, there's a lot of history in this county. This is where the excuse me, we're both coughing at the same time. This is where the state of Illinois began in here. And, you know, and of course, Kaskaskia was the first capital. Later on, roughly 40 years later, Illinois became a state beyond that. And it's kind of the whole area. And it makes very good sense because in those times, one of the major travels was rivers. And you're on the Mississippi River here at the Kaskaskia. And so it's going to be a very common place where travel would have taken place back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. That's how travel would have actually happened in that time period. So it makes a tremendous amount of history. And I just said a couple words at the commemoration. I was not the important part by any means. I was just also there. I mentioned that Randolph history is such a big part of Randolph County and how proud we are of all that history and of all our history for that time period. And I was happy to have everyone there. It was a very good turnout. I would say there was 50, 60 people there, round numbers, which is very nice for what was kind of a cloudy day.
True.
Yes.
True. All right. I'll tell you what. We got our next break here. Go ahead and get that out of the way. And we'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. Got about 6 minutes left in the program.
Talking
to Randolph County Commissioner Dave Holder, and talking about the event that you just had or whatever. You had an opportunity here not too long ago.
A week ago Saturday, not this Saturday behind us, but a week prior to that, I had the opportunity to meet with Mayor Tom Page of Chester and Senator Schimpf. They had a casual coffee there in downtown Chester, Illinois, at a local barista. It was very nice. And Mayor Page and myself and Senator Schimpf talked to anyone who wanted to come in and speak to us, I guess I would say. And a number of people did actually come in, and we had some very nice conversations on different things going on throughout the county. And I think Travis from the County Journal was there, and there was a picture. Some of the topics we talked about, obviously, were the cannabis issue. And, of course, Chester has their own say for, you know, the city of Chester coming up on that, however they will go. We talked about the sales tax change that takes place on the first of the year, which is going to be a very big issue for automobile dealerships. Because in the past, you know, when you traded a car in, you reduce the value of the new car by your trade-in value before you paid sales tax. Starting the first of the year, you no longer get to do that. There is a de minimis minimum trade-in that they'll allow you to reduce it. But if you have a very valuable trade-in, basically you wind up paying sales tax on it twice. So that's been very controversial. Of course, at Chester, the gas tax that was passed and that took effect in the summer, that is obviously very, very controversial at Chester. there with because you're at the river and the bridge. Excuse me. And the bridge on the other side. I'm making it through.
Yeah, true.
For having a cold, I'm doing okay and making it through here. That is the fuel tax there has been very controversial with Chester, you know, and the, you know, people crossing the river to buy their gasoline. And there are two large stations there on the other side, and that's what supports them. We also talked about the minimum wage and how it'll affect local business, particularly, you know, Gilster, which is a very large employer here in Randolph County. And I know there was some discussions at Springfield. I don't know how it will proceed or how the state legislator, I know how I would feel about it if I were a state legislator. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have any problem explaining it to them, but you need to consider regional differences. $15 an hour maybe is no big deal at Chicago, but it's a big deal here. And you need to be able to take in consideration regional differences. And I think there was some trailer proposed legislation considering that, but I don't know what its status is at this point in time or whether it'll make it through. That was part of the conversation. There were other local issues, you know, some of the very common things that you'll discuss, you know, about what's going on in Springfield now or what's going on at Randolph County. Mm-hmm. You know, how's your budgets? How's your operations, finances? Property tax was also a discussion and how they will, you know, affect coming in the future. And there's been a lot of talk about changing the property tax at the state level. I don't really know how that is proceeding or if it'll proceed. These discussions have happened before. But you never know for sure how they're going to go. Sparta was particularly hard hit with their school district. I know it on my real estate tax bill. I think it took it from about $2,300 to about $2,800 in round numbers just on my house. And it catches your attention. And I know there's been a lot of discussion, but that actually is levied at the Sparta school district level. That might be worth mentioning in real estate taxes. Randolph County sends out the bills. Randolph County collects the funds and distributes them, but Randolph County does not levy the taxes or determine how much will be levied. Those determinations are made by those various taxing districts, such as the Sparta School District. They present their levies. Randolph County simply bills, collects, and distributes to them. Mm-hmm. Randolph County has no control over what the Sparta School District will levy. It's the Sparta School District's responsibility to make sure those are correct and accurate where they need to be.
Right.
Same with if you live inside the limits of Sparta city limits, you would have a Sparta city tax on there. It's the city of Sparta's responsibility to make sure that's correct. The only Randolph County levies, and if you look at your tax bill, you see them on there, are just basic county operations. In my case, out of my $2,800 real estate tax bill, about $420 is Randolph County. 2,300 round numbers is everybody else, primarily the school district. So that's important to recognize. A lot of people, they see it's a county tax bill, so they figure it's the county. No, it's not the county. We're by law just the trustees who collect the money and then distribute it to the various different entities.
And if you look down your tax bill, you can see how much is going to each one.
Yes. Oh, yes. If you look down, if you take the tax bill from Randolph County, it's to the left-hand side, about midway on the 11.5 sheet, about midway down. And it lists there in the little block, it lists the different taxing districts. There's probably about 8 or 10 of them, depending on where you actually reside at or where your property is at. And it has the 2018 and then the prior year, the current year and the prior year, and the comparison between them, so you can see what it is. And that's how it's determined. And of course, the other determination of your property taxes is the value of your property. But that's to be, you know, that's the assessment part of the picture.
Right.
But that's always an issue, and was an issue and a topic at Chester as well the other day.
Okay. All right. Well, I hear the music, so I guess we're
about Well, thank you very much for having me on. I always appreciate the opportunity to come and say a few words and move forward.
All right. So we will talk to you again tomorrow here on The People Speak. And until then, have a great day. I'm Jeff.